Movie. Is it a movie? Film. Or film. Fascinating. Is it a movie? Great movie. Or film. Fascinating. Is it a movie? Love that movie. Haven't heard of that. Is it a movie? My favorite movie. Or film. I'm a bit of a cinephile.
AMFers, I hope you're enjoying summer, because we sure are. You're listening to Movie.
Movie.
Film.
Film. It's the podcast where we pick a flick and decide if it's a movie or a film.
Sounds right.
I'm Nate, and teenagers, they think they know everything. You give them an inch, they swim all over you.
Nice. And I'm Terrell, and you'll float too.
Oh. I don't know what that is.
You don't?
But it's nice.
Oh, thank you. It's not nice.
Okay.
It's well, mad sinister.
Well, we just watched Luca, so I'm like, oh, that's so sweet.
You'll float.
you mean it's the one where the clown takes the kids?
Yeah. And it's dead body floating.
That's so cute.
Yeah. And yours is Finding Nemo? Finding Dory?
No. But you're close.
I'm close-ish.
It's 2D. Musical.
2D musical.
But you are correct in that it is Under the Sea.
Okay. Little Mermaid. Nice.
I was going to go off on a huge Ursula monologue, but yeah.
Yeah. That's Sebastian, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't do the voice. So excited that you chose Luca today.
Yeah, me too.
Before we, either of us had seen it.
Mm-hmm. Total.
Over on the Patreon, patreon.com/moviefilmpod, on the exclusive podcast, The Rundown, we did talk about the trailer and our expectations when that came out. And, like, yeah, I stand by that. It's animated, Call Me By Your Name, mixed in with, they were watching the Oscars that year and they saw Shape of Water win. So they're like, okay, that too.
That too. But, like, kids.
But I love it.
Yeah. No, I love it.
Yeah.
Like, totally love it. I like Shape of Water.
I still like that one. I like this and Call Me By Your Name better, though.
Yeah.
If that counts.
Yeah. For anything. No, this is definitely my favorite of those three. Of those three named.
All right. Well, I snuck in a plug for the Patreon. So,
yeah.
So let's just,
let's just
get started
it.
With
yeah.
the trailer for Coco. No. For Luca.
Ooh.
Sorry, I was looking ahead. Luca.
Scopa! We can go anywhere. Do anything. We just gotta stick together.
We underdogs have to look out for each other, right?
Underdogs!
Tu sei l'amore.
This is gonna be the best summer ever. L'amore.
Io sono felice.
We'll ride down every road.
Accanto a te.
See the whole world together.
Sera.
It'll be amazing. But there's just one thing.
Whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait. Did you see that?
No one can find out.
Please don't take my sunshine away.
Where did you boys say you were from?
Luca is a 2021 American computer animated coming of age fantasy produced by Pixar Animation Studios and distributed by Walt Disney Studios Motion Pictures. It's directed by Enrico Casarosa in his feature length directorial debut. Written by Jesse Andrews and Mike Jones. The reason I slipped earlier and said Coco instead
right.
of Luca, well, first of all, both Pixar, recent Pixar pictures that have the two-syllable character's name as the title.
And we did it on the podcast.
But also, I was looking ahead in my notes at Crew Love, which I have Coco written down several times because visual effects, David Ryu and sound designer Justin Doyle both worked on Coco. Surprisingly, those are the only two people that worked on Luca that worked on other stuff we covered. This
is a whole new team.
Yeah, we've done several Pixar flicks at this point. Mm-hmm. WALL-E, Coco, Toy Story 3, now Luca. Am I forgetting any?
No, I think that's it. Pixar. Yeah. For Pixar.
But yeah, I thought it would just be all that. I mean, the producers are definitely
mm-hmm.
Pixar staff.
Yeah, there was definitely something that reminded me about Coco. I can't really pinpoint it.
I mean, the specific adolescent boy fantasy.
How touched adventure. I was by it. I was just like, oh yeah, this reminds me of Coco a lot. Like, it's following like some of those beats, and it's nailing it just like Coco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, shall we get to it?
Yeah, let's get to it.
We begin with the sounds of Italy.
Yeah.
It's so pretentious. We begin with the sounds of Italy. No, it's like Italian music playing from a record player. The mm-hmm. subtitles informed me that it's an aria.
An aria? Okay.
Yeah, and it's a boat on the sea in the moonlight.
Mm-hmm. There are two fishermen there. So fishing at night.
Yeah, they got the record player in the boat.
Yeah. And one of them is, you know, concerned about running into sea monsters at night.
And the old one's like, nope, they're just stories.
They're just stories. You don't have to worry about them. But then we see something reach up into the boat and take cards.
Snatching things
and kind of gets spotted.
Yeah.
Runs off in a hurry and gets caught in their net.
Really starts pulling.
Breaks free and has like this like Free Willy moment, I'll call it.
Yep.
Very Free Willy.
Yeah.
As this creature jumps over the boat in slow-mo and they see that sea monsters are real.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the start of Luca.
It is. And then we go under the sea.
Under the sea.
To a much different scene.
Mm-hmm.
More peaceful and serene. We meet Luca mm-hmm. Paguro.
Who's a farmer.
Apparently Paguro means hermit crab.
Oh, okay. That's their last name.
Yeah. So that's cute. He herds goatfish.
Goatfish. Is that like a real name? Like goatfish?
I'm Googling goatfish right now.
Because that's funny.
They're called goatfish in the movie. But okay. There are like catfish and
mm-hmm.
yeah, goatfish.
Oh,
they don't look like they do in the.
Okay.
I mean, they are fish that are like in the school, and they move all together like that. But they're not like blocky and cute.
Okay.
I really like how dumb looking they are.
Very.
They look so stupid.
Yeah.
But
they're like the fish in Finding Nemo. Like, I feel like they always draw like school and fish that way, where they're kind of just like mindless and going.
I feel like they had more they had personality in Nemo, and they spoke, I guess, with those ones were like tiny. You're talking about the minnows that made like the sign.
I'm talking about those ones. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little different.
Yeah. A little different. Yeah.
Also just the animation has gotten so much better. The mm-hmm. water looks so real.
Yeah.
When they're above, we were just, I mean, as you heard on the last episode, on the Beach Bum episode, we recorded it from the beach.
Mm-hmm.
So I just got a good look at the ocean, and let me tell you.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, that's it. They nailed it. It's crazy that that's just a bunch of ones and zeros. Luca has cute names for all the fish.
I only remember Giuseppe, because he kept saying
Giuseppe's the troublemaker. There's also... I think Enrico was one of them.
Yeah.
Which was also the name of the director.
Mm-hmm.
And, I forget. Wasn't one named Fellini?
Maybe. I know one of the one that had, like, all the fish in their mouths.
Yeah.
The smaller. goatfish.
I don't know. It's just a cute little montage, and they're silly.
Mm-hmm. And, like, he loses them, and so he's hurting them, and then we get to see, like, him interacting with, like, the other creatures. Like, they don't have an official name, do they?
No.
No, the creatures.
Sea creatures.
The sea creatures, like, in the neighborhood, and he's, like, a neighborhood kid, and they're just like, hey, Luca.
It's the classic opening credits, stroll about town. This is our hero in their environment.
Yeah.
And we do get the opening credits as he's swimming around. It's like on a, it's like a vista. They get to show off, like, look at all this. And then the text comes. Luca. And it's in Italian. Un film di Pixar. We'll talk about that if it's really un film, but it is di Pixar. it's like Disney, Walt Disney Presenta.
Yeah.
Luca, which, yeah, that works in different languages.
So he finally gets his herd to the feeding ground, I want to say.
Yeah, it's a little, it's not as joyful of a space, and the music gets a little more serious.
Yeah, and he's a little bored, too. He just sits on his rock while the fish eat.
This is where you're about to talk about the bubble.
I was going to talk about the alarm clock, but what about the bubble?
All right, so right before the clock, he's just sitting there, chilling. It's boring. There's this bubble, and the shot of him like looking at his reflection in the bubble, and his face is all distorted. And then he pops it.
Yeah.
And I just love that moment because identity definitely plays a big part into the story and what he sees himself as and what others perceive him as.
Right.
You know, like the... like have they just have that little moment of the like he looks like a monster in the reflection of the bubble
himself,
because
yeah and he probably definitely doesn't get to look at himself all the time. There's no mirrors in the ocean,
but then he gets
in the
to
sea.
Pop it.
Yeah,
now he's off looking for Giuseppe.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees the alarm clock and some other scattered objects.
Yeah, a card, a tool.
A wrench, yeah.
A wrench, but before you get to the wrench, there's a motorboat above.
Land so, monsters.
Land monsters. So he has to hide for a little bit.
Yeah, the hiding music is more sad than it is scary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he spots the so-called land monsters, and that's, like, scary, and he jumps and hides, but then the music is more like, aw.
Yeah.
Look at what he has to do.
Look at what he has to do. And so he begins to imagine what it's like. I love the imagining scenes throughout because
daydreams.
they grow more and more as he progresses. And so in the first one, he's trying to imagine what it's like above the water, but he can't. He
can't get through.
He
like
can't get through.
It's like a glue or like just a thick. I don't know. He can't break through.
He can't really see anything.
There's this nice whistling in the music.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes back in the... I like the music a lot in this. I think it's like a 95-minute quick one that takes you to a lot of places. And I think the music helps navigate that.
Mm-hmm.
I like the whistling and the daydreams. We get home. We meet Mom and Dad. Mom, played by Animated Mother of the Year.
Yeah,
Maya Rudolph, who crushed it in Mitchell's vs. the Machines, is back for more.
This is our third Maya VL, because she was in Big Hero 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was a mother figure.
Actually, no, I said third because I guess I counted the Mitchells, but it's only our second.
Oh, true.
We talked about the Mitchells on the rundown.
Oh, you mean on patreon.com/moviefilmpod?
Yeah, on that.
Yeah, join the movie film fam at that link I just said. And Jim Gaffigan's the dad.
Yeah.
With the giant gills where a mustache might be.
Right. So the mom like warns him of the murderous land monsters that only want one thing, and that's to kill us, and warns him like not to ever under any circumstances go up there.
Curious fish gets caught.
Mm-hmm.
She says.
Yep. Grandma starts to open up to him about the surface.
We love our cool grandmas. We love on the this grandmas. Podcast.
Yeah.
This is another great grandma character.
Yeah, she's just so chill and relaxed, and it's just like, he's old enough, he should know. But the mom puts it into that,
mm-hmm.
and Lucas just kind of defeated and kind of just walks off. Still very curious.
Mm-hmm. I like what Lucas' mom says to him before he leaves. It's like her line, really. She holds his face up and says, "Look me in the eye. You know I love you, right?"
Mm-hmm.
Which is not the same thing as "I love you."
Mm-hmm.
You look me in the eye. You know I love you.
Right.
It's a little different.
It's a little different because she's not being like nice. She's not being a friend. She's being a parent instead of overprotective.
Yeah, and instead of saying how she feels, she's trying to have control over what he thinks or feels.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a weird indirect thing. And then she says, "We're worried about him, right?" And then we just hear from the background Jim Gaffigan's voice, "No thanks, I'm full." Just the clueless dad.
Clueless dad.
Doesn't really pay attention to his wife or his son.
Mm-hmm. Luca, of course, goes back to...
Wastes no time.
Yeah, right back to the tool. And the tool leads him to a glass cup. He looks through the glass cup and then spots the record player.
Yeah, and then the deep sea diver comes in. And
comes for in like behind him.
For like 10, 12 seconds, you get some really eerie, like, uh-oh, it's a deep sea diver.
Yeah, it's a human with a spear.
I
kind of
want to see that scary deep sea diver movie. Mm-hmm. I know it's not a Pixar movie.
It's not, yeah.
But, I don't know, there's a lot of aesthetic things
that could be done
or just that are in Luca that are things I've thought about before. I was like, yeah, I like that, because mm-hmm. like deep sea diver is so dope,
yeah,
so cool,
yeah.
And the stuff later with the like outer space has an mm-hmm. ocean, that's something I've always been a fan of.
That's supposed to be what underwater supposed to be,
really.
Yeah,
they're in space.
No, they're underwater.
Wait,
like deep
that,
sea
that Kristen Stewart movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of what that's supposed to be.
It's like space.
It's like underwater is like space. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I like it. Space is like underwater. I guess it goes both ways.
Yeah.
But I like specifically like the representation of space travel mm-hmm. as like a nautical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Treasure Planet?
Yeah.
That.
Okay.
That. Exactly that. Okay, so.
Yeah, there's a moment of fright.
It's like 12 seconds, though, because if we're in a Pixar movie that's moving quickly. So right away, he takes off his helmet, and we meet Alberto.
Mm-hmm. And he's just like, "I'm not a human. Don't worry. Don't be scared."
Yeah, with those piercing green eyes.
Mm-hmm. And so Alberto takes the record player because that's what he was looking for. And mm-hmm. he takes it up with him to the surface.
So effortlessly. Transitions from sea to land.
And Luca is just like, he's almost there and he can't do it.
He's so tense.
And then Alberto takes the hook and pulls him up. And he starts to like freak out.
Yep.
And he's changed as well.
Yep. Now they both look human.
They both look human.
Alberto says, "Relax. Breathe.
Breathe. It's your first time, huh?"
It's a great... There's,
yeah, it's something about that line that I was just like, "Oh yeah. Oh yeah." And then like Luca being like, "Ah, I'm not supposed to do this. I'm a good kid."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then this moment where Alberto like tells him to just take everything in. He takes a moment. And we get these shots where Pixar is just flexing, showing how realistic looking their images are. Look at these beautiful waves, these mm-hmm. trees.
Mm-hmm.
Look at these clouds, these birds.
Yeah.
And it's all like soundtracked with this like slow piano, like twinkling keys.
Mm-hmm.
Very the end of The Sound of Metal. Spoiler.
Yeah. Spoiler. Yeah.
Actually, is that even a spoiler? Like, if you didn't see that, and I just said that.
Yeah, you should see it. Also, this is not a spoil-free podcast.
No.
we're going to spoil things. So, Luca takes it all in, but he's also still scared, and he rushes right back into the water.
Yeah, after that nice moment, Alberto says, like, it's great, right? And then Luca says, no, and the piano turns quickly back to, like, the plucky music, and he's back to scared.
Yeah.
But it's nighttime, and he's curious. He's so curious. He's the curious fish that might get caught. Mm-hmm. He's asking his grandmother, you really... You used to be up on the surface. Tell me about that. But she's asleep.
And so the next day at work, he makes this like this stand-in dummy after leading his school fish to the feeding ground. And he heads back to the place.
His name's the dummy Smooka, by
Smooka,
the way.
Yeah.
One of my favorite characters in the whole picture.
Smooka.
That Smooka is just so charming.
And he's apprehensive. He's not going to do it.
He's tensing up, yeah.
And then Alberto pops up behind him and gives him some stuff to bring up to the surface.
Kind of so, distracts him a little bit.
Yeah.
By giving him something to do while he passes through.
Yeah. And so, yeah, he's able to pass through, and we get to see his... transformation
let's
like
talk about the way
in
they
greater
show this.
Detail
it's like piece by piece the skin changes and the
scales from
the
skin.
Colors and the scales go away and the tail disappears and it's like paint almost like drips of paint. I don't know, I like how they did it instead of like, well, it is magic, but it's not, I don't know. It's not like dust swirls surrounding him.
Yeah, it's not
like
Cinderella, or it's not like Little Mermaid, even.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is what happens.
Yeah.
This is, yeah.
It's a little more natural.
This is just what they're about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even like something happened to make them this way, and we never explore that.
No. They just are these humanoid.
Yeah, they just exist.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Cherish it.
Yeah. But of course, Luca can't walk.
No, he needs lessons.
He
can't even stand. He needs to learn. You just stack everything up.
like rocks. And so, yeah, even when he like gets up on his feet and he tries to take his first step, it's like he's swimming. Like he's moving his body like he's swimming, and then he just falls down.
Yeah, it reminded me of like an animation test.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if this is one of the first things they did once they got the composite up of these bodies. Let's talk about these bodies, by the way, because they're not... Soul just came out this past year. Actually, last year, Christmas.
Yeah.
By the way, why was this on Disney Plus exclusively?
I don't know.
I want to see this in the theater. It's not,
and it wasn't behind a paywall, which I appreciate. But
also,
yeah, it wasn't treated like the other releases.
Well, Soul wasn't behind a paywall either.
Yeah, as well. Maybe
was,
it's just
was,
the live action.
That was on Christmas during a pandemic, though.
Onward was behind a paywall, right? Or no?
Well, it was in theaters
when
COVID started happening.
Right.
So I think, yeah, they quickly switched it.
Okay.
But what I was going to say is Soul was more, they went for a more realistic character design in their humans.
Mm-hmm.
I guess these aren't really even humans, but there are human characters later. Anyway, I just want to point out like how cartoony their faces are.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that. Giant eyes, especially on Luca. His eyes are so huge, wide, and innocent.
Yeah.
One thing that's weird, though, the arms and legs are so skinny, but the hands and feet are fucking thick.
Yeah.
And dense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Big feet, skinny legs, yeah.
And it's kind of, it's a little weird with the, like, cartoony designs with, like, the super realistic animation of skin. You know what I mean? Like, you can see the different layers colors. And
the tan,
but, like,
and the freckles.
There's, like, some, you can see, like, the flesh. And
yeah.
I don't know, if you stare at, like, the skin on their feet for too long, it's jarring. But impressive, but...
Mm.
I liked it when it was just lines.
Oh.
But I like the characters. He learns to walk.
He learns to walk. And then Alberto takes him to his little hangout, his where he lives.
I like how they just use the walking montage as like filler for everything else realistic. Like if this were a real thing,
mm-hmm.
he would have so much more to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But now that he learned to walk, that's good. Like he'll learn to ride a bike and do some other stuff. But like Alberto's hideout, you have to climb a ladder up. And jump yeah. up and pull yourself up. It's a lot of more than walking
right.
stuff.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, in this short time, they like experience like the air, like
yeah.
take deep breaths and like stare at the sun. He's like, don't look at it. No, definitely look at it. And then once they get to his little hideout, Luca discovers all this like human stuff.
Yeah, Alberto apparently lives with his father, who's just not around that much.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the main human things that takes Luca's interest is the freedom post, the Vespa is freedom poster.
Mm-hmm.
Which then
he almost like floats to it.
Yeah, it kind of kicks us into another daydream mm-hmm. sequence with that whistling again.
Yeah, in this daydream, he imagines himself riding a Vespa,
mm-hmm.
but over water.
Yeah.
Because that's all he knows.
Right. He doesn't know what roads are, does
yeah.
he?
Yeah. And doesn't know what other people look like.
He's just in love with the idea of the Vespa.
Yeah.
This is my least favorite part.
This is your least favorite part? I love this part. The part where he's like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
But then stays.
I like that. I don't like the way they do it.
Okay.
I don't like the title card, 45 minutes later, an hour later.
Yeah.
And it's just like black background with white text.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? Just show like the light changing and then we'll know that time has passed.
All right.
Show the time lapse. It's animation. You could do a time lapse of them building the thing and then cut to him saying he's got to leave, but then they keep building.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's like a handful of different ways they could do that.
Yeah.
I like that he clearly wants to say
clearly
he's
wants
being
to
pulled
say
by his
fear
of his parents. Yeah. And it's kind of a nightmare when he gets home.
Yeah, he has this nightmare where his mom asks him where he's been, and he slips up and says surface, and yeah. then his mom becomes a monster. Like, what did you say? And then his dad's
like, look at your hand.
Look at your foot.
Your foot, and it's the human foot.
It's the human foot.
That chunky human foot.
Yeah.
But in reality, or the reality of Luca.
Yeah.
In reality, the grandmother sea monster saves the sea monster grandson.
Yeah. She covers for him, says, I told him to get me some cabbage, some sea cabbage or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the mom buys it, and everything is fine.
Again, Luca's off the next day to hang out with Alberto above the surface yet again.
Mm-hmm. And so they begin to build the Vespa.
Yeah.
They build the Vespa. Well, oh no, that's what they did with the time lapse.
Right.
Right. This one is the Vespa test. Yes. Where they're gonna ride it down the hill.
Well, and they make adjustments to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a montage set to like 60s or 70s Italian pop music.
Mm-hmm.
They're not clear on when this takes place.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got like an old school flavor.
Yeah.
No iPhones. No.
No phones.
No like Italian
just vibes.
Disco.
Yeah.
Like no club music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first test is a failure. The bike falls apart, and Luca is super scared. He's holding the ramp, which is just like not a good idea. Even if the Vespa didn't fall apart.
The physics of these characters, though, you don't know. Like,
yeah,
like
maybe.
Alberto's teaching
like,
him about
yeah.
gravity, aka falling, so he jumps off of his tower, yeah. and then he's fine.
Luca might also turn out to be really strong on land.
Probably
so.
Is. Like, they could be superheroes.
They could be. They didn't
they'd
but
be
they
cooler
could.
Than Aquaman.
Mm-hmm.
Aquaman.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to swim underwater for your whole life, it definitely builds, like, greater muscle than just being on land.
They gotta make adjustments.
So yeah, we get the montage of them building more bikes.
I love this one shot where Alberto's just scratching his back with a hanger, and Luca looks back at him, and there's something pretty sexual about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like Luca gets the idea to use the hanger as a
steering wheel.
Yeah. But just the moment right before, like the way Alberto is stretched out with that. I mean, he's wearing like the tank top and the short shorts.
All right.
I just love how the gay coding.
The gay coding?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything's coded gay.
Everything's coded gay. And yeah, I love this montage because it's like them bonding.
Mm-hmm.
And the end of it is like them looking at the sunset
with their arms
like,
around each other.
Yeah. Alberto first, and then Luca.
Standing in the shallow part of the sea.
Yeah.
Beautiful orange.
Mm-hmm.
That's also interspersed with Luca's mom, like, finding Smuka.
Yeah.
Being on to her son.
Yeah.
And our next scene is the Silencio Bruno scene, which I'm glad that kids watching this will now have this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, what is it? The King and I think, has that whenever you're afraid, I just whistle the happy song.
Mm-hmm.
I always like that, though. I can't whistle. And that was upsetting. I can definitely say Silencio Bruno, though.
Right.
And I hope nervous children use this.
Exactly, yeah. They have
to do good.
Obviously. A tool.
Not like little kids saying Silencio Bruno, then letting a Molotov cocktail and throwing it
right
into their neighbor's house.
So yeah, Silencio Bruno. Bruno, like, you have a Bruno in your head, which just means you have doubt in your head. You have this voice in your head telling that you can't do something when you can.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to tell that voice to shut up. You can name it anything you want.
Yeah.
Alberto just named it Bruno.
The internet thinks Bruno might be his dad's name, but
there's no
evidence of that.
Yeah,
just a theory.
Silencio Bruno.
So they use it to speed downhill.
Mm-hmm.
Luke was using a colander as a helmet,
mm-hmm.
which I'm really surprised that Disney like allowed Pixar to show kids engaging in this level of recklessness.
Mm-hmm. The Vespa starts to fall apart, like pull apart, and
it like splits in two. Luca saves them by grabbing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Grabbing onto Alberto and like holding them together. And they actually go flying. They take flight with the seabirds.
They go above the goals. Yeah.
Yeah. But then everything that comes up must come down, and they're headed for a rock. And so Luca actually pushes them apart.
Saves them, yeah.
Yeah. And saves them.
Saves them by breaking away from Alberto, so they each fall on separate sides of the rock. What a moment.
Yeah.
Like, the way they survive is by being apart.
Yeah, coming together and then going apart.
Like, the bike broke apart, and there was this big danger, but now that weakness is the thing that saves them.
Yeah, wow, that was the whole movie in that one moment.
Those are perfect moments.
Yeah.
When they figure out a way to illustrate just the core of the whole thing right there.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. That evening, Alberto teaches. So Alberto's like a know-it-all. He's a dumbass also, though.
Yeah.
So he's taught Luca several things that are just wrong,
mm-hmm.
but says it with a lot of confidence. And in this scene, Alberto's teaching him that the stars obviously are anchovies.
Yeah.
Which inspires the next daydream, because Alberto and Luca talk about how once they get their Vespa going, they can go anywhere.
Yeah.
So now it's not just Luca and the Vespa in the daydream. It's Luca, Alberto, and the Vespa.
And the Vespas.
Yeah, wild Vespas.
Yeah, just wild Vespas.
like wild horses, but Vespas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're in like this golden wheat field, and then they go up this ramp into space.
And they fly.
Which is an ocean. There's fish.
They touch the fish, a.k.a. the stars.
Yeah.
And Luke is just like, I did it, Alberto. And he looks back and Alberto's not there.
Oh, it turns into a nightmare.
Starts to rain and he's a creature again and he's just falling.
And then he wakes up and it's still bad because it's like the, oh no, I fell asleep moment where he needed to go home.
But yeah,
he was so enjoying himself so much.
Yeah.
Really living it up.
Yeah, that's happened to all of us. losing track of time.
And now,
as a kid.
Now it's really bad when he gets home because the clock and the pictures are laid out on the table.
Yeah.
The evidence is there. He's going to be confronted by his parents.
Who are doing like a good cop, bad cop type of thing. And the mom being the bad cop, obviously.
Then apparently Uncle Ugo was there the whole time, hiding off in the corner. This is definitely another part where they diverge from Finding Nemo, because in that, the
angelfish,
that's what they're called. That's like a super scary moment in Nemo.
Yeah.
And the fish are designed to be terrifying, but this is like another Pixar, like, goofy character.
Yeah.
Voiced by Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh.
Which I saw him in the credits, and originally, the first time I watched it, I just assumed the villain was Sasha.
Okay.
Apparently, that actually is an Italian actor, not just the English Jew doing a voice, which kind of sounds the same. But yeah,
I like that it's Ugo and not Ugo, because it could be Ugo, because they're ugly fish.
Yeah. So this is a pretty heartbreaking
situation. I like his design, too.
Oh, yeah, he's transparent.
He's transparent, but also, like, black as well.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks cool.
And his heart stops. Yeah.
Yeah, Luke has to punch him to restart the heart. And the situation's like pretty upsetting that the mom's threatening to, or not even threatening, she's going to send her son away to the deep sea.
Yeah, to protect him.
Where he's deprived of everything. Uncle Ugo says you just stand there and talk and you keep your mouth open and every once in a while food comes to you. And that's nice.
Yeah, he said, you can't not eat the whale carcass. You just open your mouth and there's whale carcass.
I love lives in darkness and that like explains why this character doesn't really have social skills.
Yeah.
they have fun with that. So yeah, it's kind of like conversion camp a little bit.
Yeah. Or at least you're being sent down south or something.
And we get a heartbreaking look me in the eye, you know I love you, right?
Right.
And it's like...
And then he like breaks off and runs away, and then the grandma giggles.
Yeah.
I love the...
Because she, like us...
Yeah.
It's Team Luca.
Team Luca.
So now Luca swims off and then runs off to Alberto.
Tells him, you know, his situation, and Alberto suggests that they go to the mainland, the main island.
It's time to get a real Vespa and travel the world.
Exactly.
So now Alberto jumps in the sea, ready to go. And now we get Luca doing the Silencio Bruno without Alberto's aid, just by himself, to psych himself up before he jumps in. And it works.
To take the leap, yeah.
And they get to the town of Porto Rosso,
which,
if it sounds familiar, it's because it is named in tribute to Miyazaki. And his picture, Porco Rosso,
about
the Italian pig.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, apparently...
I thought it sounded familiar.
Apparently Luca takes a lot of inspiration from the work of Miyazaki. It is one of the more Miyazakian of the Pixar pictures.
Yeah.
And we haven't gotten to her yet, but Julia's outfit is like the same as one of the characters in Kiki's Delivery Service.
Okay.
Just the stripes and the overalls. So yeah, they get to Porto Rosso, which is a beautiful Italian seaside town.
And upon arrival, Luca is scared because the first people he see, they have a bucket of dead fish and a hook and a spare.
Yeah.
And
wait,
he's just
right
like,
before that, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
But on their way to Porto Rosso,
you want to talk about like the
they're just like swimming and they're so
jumping,
free.
Yeah.
Like this is them running away.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful. And I love that it's a short movie, but I could go for two more minutes of that.
Mm-hmm.
swimming and jumping, and then when they do the
Luca
splash
learning
thing, it
how
goes
to like
slow-mo.
Do the jump.
And when they jump, they like turn human.
Yeah.
Because they go high enough, and then it goes upside down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so joyful and liberating. And then they get to Porto Rosso, where maybe they're not so accepting of sea monsters.
Of sea monsters, yeah.
Here's a hint. They call them sea monsters.
Yeah, there's lots of artwork of them killing sea monsters and hooks and dead sea creatures.
Anti-sea monster masonry on these buildings.
But Luca also sees the beauty in the town, you know, seeing the little kids eat watermelon and play soccer and just people yelling out their window and all that stuff.
They try out what's wrong with you, stupido, the Italian for that.
Yeah.
To a couple of old Italian women who then shove their ice cream cones in Luca and Alberto's face.
Right.
So then they get to try ice cream for the first time,
and they love it.
Yeah. I like that their first encounter with. Actually, never mind. That's not they instigated that by saying what's wrong with you, stupido.
Yeah,
had nothing to do with the monsters.
Anyway, Ercole.
Yeah,
that's how you say it.
He's our super cartoonish villain.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, why does he have the most pronounced Italian accent?
He does.
I love that Luca's coded gay. I don't love that the villain is the most like quote unquote
Italian.
Yeah. He's
also
coded as foreign where no one else is, or fully.
I noted that he also had, like, the biggest nose.
Mm. Yeah.
I was just like, everyone else knows is cute. Even Massimo?
Massimo, yeah.
Yeah.
He's
even
got
the
button.
Yeah, he's a button nose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to mess this up for the rest of the pod.
Ercole
has like some good moments and some funny stuff, but I don't know. I feel like they could have, if it were true Miyazaki, it wouldn't have had like a huge bully villain like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I'm trying to, yeah, that's the Pixar part of it. He's very self-important.
He is funny though.
Yeah.
And his entrance is amazing. He comes in on his red, shiny red Vespa. You see like the reflection of his lips in the little mirror.
Mm-hmm.
He's being followed by his two goons carrying like a 15-20 foot sandwich.
Yeah. And he arrives and stops, and everyone's just like, "Oh, enough with the revving!" Like they're already
so
tired of him.
Yeah, but he's putting on a show. Who wants to see me eat this big sandwich?
Right. A soccer ball falls over to Luca, and they say, "Hey, kick it over." Mm. And so he kicks it over, but he's never kicked before.
Right.
So it's a terrible kick, and it ends up bouncing off the wall and hitting the Vespa.
Yeah, it's going to fall. So Ciccio, one of the goons, has to, like a bodyguard, like the Secret Service, like dives to
sacrifice his own body for the Vespa.
We learn that
Ercole?
Thank you. Ercole. We learned that he's the 5-time champion of the Porto Rosso Cup race.
Mm-hmm. And he's very full of himself.
Mm-hmm. I love this one, this shot of his face, like, jumping into the frame as Luca's admiring the Vespa.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, you've seen enough.
Right. No, you can't look at her. No.
Yeah.
He treats it as, like, something precious.
Mm-hmm. And he's a bully. He almost pushes Luca's face into the water of the fountain that's in the center of town.
Yeah.
We meet Julia, who
saves
them.
Saves them. Comes in between them.
Helps
with
them escape.
With her bike. Yeah.
Now she's also from Porto Rosso, but she has some Italian accent, but it's like more cute.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Also, I'd have to put more thought into this to know what my angle is on this observation, but there's something interesting about when they decide to actually incorporate Italian speech.
Right.
It's a lot of like exclamations.
Yeah, a lot of yelling.
But there's also the jokes with the cheese, because Julia's like, "Oh, Santo Mozzarella, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Something Gorgonzola."
I wonder how this plays with like Italian subtitles. Not subtitles, audio.
Hmm.
And just like subbed.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd be interested in that.
I don't know why I'm thinking so much into it. I'm just happy the Pixar Italian movie isn't about a talking meatball. Like, what if they did a feature length version of that? I found the meatball covered in cheese.
Right.
Top of spaghetti.
Mm. That's more, even more Miyazaki.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking of like the talking plane.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I just started thinking of the dad in Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs being very similar to Julia's dad.
Very Massimo. Similar. Yeah. Almost the same dad.
Almost.
Almost. So they get information from her. They're able to like communicate with her because she's
also an underdog.
She's an underdog. And they're like, under what? And she's just like different, you know, smell, sweat too much, blah, 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 you know, stuff like that. And so she tells them about the raise and the prize money. And they're like, could we turn the prize money into a Vespa?
Yeah, they don't know economics. They don't get how currency works.
They're thinking like alchemist.
Yeah.
It's just like, no.
On a full moon, you can turn 9,000 coins.
Yeah.
So they see one Vespa. Could we get that? And she says, no, but you could get that. And it's like a more busted Vespa, but
yeah.
Still it's enough to get another Vespa daydream happening.
Yeah.
This time the coins are just raining down and they're kind of Scrooge McDuckin, but with a Vespa.
Yeah.
Like riding on a mountain of gold coins.
Mm-hmm. And it makes sense because Luca hasn't seen paper money. So, of course, it's just coins falling.
Right.
Yeah.
So... They're going to join Julia's team.
Mm-hmm. They ask to be on her team.
She always competes alone, but she's going to make an exception.
Mm-hmm. She makes them audition. And Luca has to learn how to ride a bike really quickly. And he actually does.
Yeah, he gets there.
Yeah, he gets there. She asks if El Proto can swim. And he's like, yeah, of course. I'm an excellent, yeah. bad swimmer.
Yeah, right.
And so his job is going to be to eat. He's going to be the eater.
Yeah, because the triathlon, by the way, is swimming, pasta eating, and bike riding.
Yeah.
You know, triathlons.
Right. Three things.
So we meet Massimo back at Julia's house. Did you have anything before?
No.
This? Okay, so he's got big commanding presence.
Mm-hmm.
Just he takes up a lot of the screen.
Mm-hmm.
He's got one arm, bushy eyebrows that cover up his eyes.
Arms like Popeye.
Giant mustache that covers his mouth.
Mm-hmm. A big brow that cover his eyes.
And in the first shot introducing him, he's got his cleaver.
Yeah.
And he chops. What does he kill? Anything that swims.
Anything that swims.
Chomp.
Yeah. And then they talk about the sea creatures in the water, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to kill it.
He hunts them.
Yeah, he hunts them. And so Luca and Alberto are kind of just like wide-eyed, scared, shoulders up. Like, oh no, like he doesn't know. Like, we're right in his house. Like, he could, if he knew right now, he would kill us.
Also, he's got a mustachioed cat named Machiavelli.
Oh, the cat's great.
Who is totally onto them and like catches like everything. Anytime they slip, the cat sees them but can't communicate.
Yeah. It's just like growling at them.
I like this cat better than the cat from Soul.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say it. Better Pixar cat.
Better Pixar cat. It's a cat. Not a
cat trying to learn how to be a human that appreciates the simple things in life.
Yeah. The cat before it was a human inside of it was great. The cat just chilling on the turn belt going up to like the graveyard. That was a great cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the cat kind of sees a bit of Alberto's, like, sea creature form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little water like, gets on him.
Yeah. And
cat meows at him.
Mm-hmm.
We learn that the business, Massimo's business, isn't doing so well. He can't catch a lot of fish.
Mm-hmm.
Julia might not be able to do the triathlon because she always loses and gets so angry, but also There's entry fee.
Yeah.
But Alberto says, we know fish.
Yeah, we know fish. We can help you.
How's that work? They're just selling out their fish friends, right?
They're just selling out. They're like traitors to the sea.
We have a dream. Let's go help you kill the people from the place we used to be from.
Right. You know...
they didn't give up any like creatures, but still.
Right. I guess also making the fish and not able to talk kind of...
That does help.
That does help.
Hey, is that Alberto? What's happening?
Whoa, what's happening?
I have kids.
You know what I wanted to see? It was mentioned earlier when the mother is talking about dolphins and how the other lady can like do a really good...
Bianca Branzino.
Can do a dolphin impression.
She always complains about.
Right. And then the father is just like, I don't know why they talk like that. They should just speak. And I was just like, oh, wait, do dolphins... Like, can dolphins speak and like they're not speaking to us? Because I think that would be really funny to see if they had showed that.
So I took that. I mean, it's a funny bit because they're obviously fish that talk.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I feel like it's like some bigotry. It's some anti-dolphin bigotry coming from Dad in that moment where they do talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
They have language, dolphins. But they're different.
Yeah, I see that.
And in this repressed household, Papa, whatever Luca's last name is, isn't curious about things that are different. He's fearful or frustrated with them.
Interesting. This is my first time experience dolphin bigotry. And our last feature was like dolphin love, you know?
Yeah. Well, those weren't dolphins.
They weren't
dolphins. I regret to inform you.
Really cute, like eating pasta for the first time.
Oh, guzzling it up.
Guzzling.
They don't know how to eat it.
Can't eat it with a fork because they never used a fork, so they just go like hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They end up sleeping in Julia's treehouse, which is nice. And Alberto and Luca have some nice pillow talk.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much happening so quickly in this picture. Mm-hmm. I just wrote that they have pillow talk. I didn't catch what it is they talk about. Just that they're excited.
Yeah,
excited.
Yeah, that's all.
They look up at the moon.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to Luca that he sleeps. It's a treehouse, but not with the roof, so he directly gets to see the stars and the moon.
Mm-hmm. We see the parents in the morning. They come on to the surface.
Yeah, immediately, mom beats the shit out of dad because she just sees a human.
Yeah. And he's like, no, wait, it's me. And then we see her as a human as well. And they're just like, ooh, we're so ugly.
Of course, the Gale mustache became a mustache.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We all expected that.
Yeah.
They have kind of big noses, too.
You're right. Yeah.
Mom and dad did.
You're right. Yeah. I kind of wish the dad didn't look so typical. I feel like the dad looks so generic.
Yeah, they could do more with that character.
Yeah.
He gets to do some funny stuff, but... Yeah. Also, they could do more with those characterizations to explain, to help the metaphor going, you know?
Yeah.
Because they're obviously a married man and married woman could be queer, but I don't know. It kind of falls apart if you're trying to take it too seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Jim Gaffigan has a funny voice, though.
Yeah. Maybe they went with that design, or maybe they had that design and then picked the actor, but it felt like...
Hey, he does look like an Italian man, though.
Yeah.
Like an old Italian man.
Mm-hmm.
Older.
Alberto and Luca wake up, and they're fish because it was raining.
Yeah, what does Alberto say? The sky's leaking.
Yeah, the sky's leaking. And so they have to hide because Julia, like, pops out the window singing in the morning. She's a morning person.
Yeah, of course.
And so they have to, like, dry off really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Alberto and Luca go with Massimo to go fishing, and Julia goes off to make her deliveries.
Yeah. My next note is the ice cream kid. Are we there yet?
Ice cream kid?
The mom and dad and the kid with the ice cream.
No. All right. So out in the boat.
Yeah.
They're looking, well, they're scared because they're out in water, and
yeah, a passing boat comes by. I'm surprised they agreed to go out on the boat. It's,
yeah.
I've never been out on a boat and not gotten wet.
Yeah, exactly. Or like wet and like your feet, anything. Massimo is like talking to other boaters and just like, yeah, I got my spear with me. I'm going to get him. You know, I'm going to kill these creatures or whatever. And so they're scared. And Alberto is like looking at his missing arm. And
oh,
then,
right.
Yeah.
How did I miss this moment this time?
Massimo goes, a sea creature took it. And he's like, what? Right. And he's like, no, I was born this way.
Yeah.
And so there's that layer of Massimo understanding being born different.
Yeah, and just like huge for a disabled Disney character to just not have a tragic backstory.
Yeah, to just be that way and it be normal, yeah.
Like, it's not Captain Hook. It's not Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
It's Massimo.
And so he can't catch any fish because he's over a haunted graveyard. And he really doesn't even question it that much. Right. They just tell him to go over there, and he goes over there.
And they know all the spots, of course.
Yeah.
They know the fish.
They know fish.
Fish's schedule that they're selling out.
Yeah. And they're able to get more fish. Now we get to the parents.
So they're trying to figure out which of these human children is Luca. So they're going to do that by getting kids wet.
Yeah.
And dad's up first, and he has no chill. There's just a kid eating an ice cream cone, sitting on a ledge by the ocean, and dad just pushes him in.
Yeah, he tries taking control.
Just full confidence. Luca, yeah. I know it's you. What are you doing? And pushes this kid and traumatizes him.
And the mom is just like, run before his mom comes.
I like the mom and dad little B plot in this. They don't spend too much time on these sections, but there's always something funny.
Yeah.
In their quest.
They learn, Luca and Alberto and Julia learn about the rules of the race.
Yeah, it's the sign-ups for the Porto Rosso Cup race.
Ercole makes his grand entrance, as always. You know, move out of my way. I'm going to sign up. I'm 16. You said that last year. I know, but this year is true. And he actually takes their money, the underdog's money, and he's not going to let them sign up until Luca actually stands up to them and tells Julia to say, hey, tell him he looks like a catfish. And at first, they don't get it. And they're like, a catfish? And he's like, yeah, they're bottom feeders. And they also have like two little whiskers. And everyone goes, oh. Like, oh, he got him. That was a good one. And then he's like, you know what? Sign up. I'm going to crush you.
I like the burn.
Yeah, the burn's really good. Julia also says like, hey, you know, nobody here loves
they don't
you.
Like you. They're just afraid.
They're just afraid of you.
And he says, raise your hand if you like me. They all raise their hands.
They're all raising.
And then the whole rest of the scene happens. And as Ercole is exiting, there's just a kid that still has his hand up. He's like, you can put it down now.
Yeah, you can put it down.
So now it's time to practice. To practice eating pasta, because you don't know what kind of pasta they're going to give you.
Right.
You got to be prepared.
Every pasta ever.
To practice swimming is where they have, pretty soon after this last scene with Ercole, there's another encounter with him in the boat.
A little before that, just want to note that Luca falls riding down the hill, and instead of seeing stars, he sees fish, which made me crack up because he thinks that the stars are fish. So he sees fish floating around his head.
Yeah, it's like a Looney Tune moment.
Almost like Roger Rabbit. Like, he can't get the birds. What they wanted? No, they wanted stars, and he kept giving them birds. So yeah, Ercole almost runs them over on a boat, and is like not gonna turn. It's actually one of his goons that chickens out and is just like, hey, we can't kill these kids. But Alberto gets splashed and almost is exposed.
Yeah, it's scary. The reveal almost happens, but yeah. They're careful.
It doesn't happen. Yeah.
Now mom gets a hold of a soccer ball.
Yeah, this is funny too.
And keeps hitting the ball. Well, first it's an accident that she hits the ball and it hits a kid and he gets knocked in the fountain. Mm-hmm. But apparently she's very skilled at soccer.
Yeah.
Or football. She just knocks all the kids in town into the fountains.
Yeah.
And none of them are.
She even dunks one. She gets like.
She gets really into it.
She gets really into it and just dunks one in the water.
Yeah.
She
doesn't find Luca though.
Yeah. Luca kind of hears.
Yeah.
Her do the dolphin sound.
Right.
And he's kind of like, oh, he's my scared. Parents. Yeah, he's scared. But Alberto's just like, you know. Reassures him that, you know, you're going to be okay and your parents aren't here. Like, they're not going to find you.
Now, Julia and Luca are going to bond.
Yeah. Alberto's called away with Massimo.
Yeah, so they get their time together and she teaches him, well, about teaching, about learning.
Mm-hmm.
She has a bunch of books from school.
Mm-hmm.
She tells him what school is.
Mm-hmm.
She shows him textbooks and talks to him about astronomy,
mm-hmm.
Saturn.
Mm-hmm. And he has a daydream.
Spawns a daydream where he's running on Saturn's rings and hang gliding in like the Da Vinci hang gliders.
Yeah.
Through the Roman Colosseum.
Mm-hmm.
His running mind into is growing. Some characters from Pinocchio.
Mm-hmm.
Like that fox that pimps out Pinocchio. That character makes an appearance in Luca.
I just want to note that there were two moments where Alberto showed concern and or jealousy.
Yes, he's starting to be jealous.
He's starting to be jealous of Luca and Julia spending mm-hmm. time together and bonding.
Yes. After this daydream, Alberto comes back. He shows Luca the updated sketch of their Vespa plans, which has flames now, and Luca suggests adding the telescope. And, oh yeah, we got to add Julia.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where he's getting kind of jealous.
Yeah.
That he wants to add her to their dream.
Mm-hmm. Luca also wants to go to school.
It's very happy together, kind of. They have this dream of the waterfalls, but mm-hmm. it's like the Vespa.
It's the Vespa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Luca is really interested in going to school, and Alberto's like, no, that's not the plan. We're supposed to get the Vespa and ride away. Like, we don't have to, like, live by human rules. That's boring. But Luca is, he wants to learn. He wants to explore.
Mm-hmm. But Luca says, or Alberto says, what do you think's going to happen when they see your fish face?
Mm-hmm.
Then another Ercole encounter.
This time,
it's night.
It's night.
And he says, I smell something fishy with the two of you.
Mm-hmm. And so he grabs Alberto and mm-hmm. punches him.
Yeah.
Luca actually stands up to him with the spear. And
it didn't even take a Silencio Bruno. He just
defended
his friend.
Yeah.
Another training montage.
Mm-hmm. As the parents continue to look for Luca,
I like how it's tied in. Luca's riding the bike around town, and he passes the kids eating the watermelon, and they're like cheering him on, and he's going fast. And then the camera stays, or the virtual camera, whatever,
right.
stays on the kids. Meanwhile, they get hit with water balloons. We pan up; it's the parents. Like now, they're water ballooning children,
right?
To expose.
Mm-hmm.
They try what's their end game? Let's say it works.
Exactly. And then you have
how much danger are they now putting their son in by exposing him?
Yeah. I thought the same thing.
I mean, that's pretty realistic actually, just careless parents.
Yeah.
Thinking they're doing what's right. Yeah, didn't think that one through.
Or what if, like, somebody else's kid is a sea creature and then you expose that kid?
Yeah.
They try espresso for the first time. And it, you know, you get that, them moving, like, very quickly.
Yeah.
Alberto learns how to eat with a fork, but his accomplishment goes unnoticed because when he looks over to Luca, he's in a book with Julia.
Yeah. Parents are now having this moment where they're second guessing everything. Was I being too hard on him?
Mm-hmm.
Was I not giving him enough attention?
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, there's a kid that approaches them. They're, like, sitting by the fountain. The kid approaches and then, like, sees them and runs away because they've definitely established a reputation by now.
Right.
All the kids in town are scared of them. But right then, as they're maybe having a change of heart, Luca passes on a bike with Julia and she says his name a couple times.
Yeah. And he is like, oh, gotta go.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, is able to get away on his bike.
Yeah, it's... Oof. Close. It was a real, real close one.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have confirmation that their son's out there.
Yeah. They, Luca and the underdogs, they escape to the top of the hill where the bike journey starts. And Luca, he can't do it. Like, he's scared to go down the hill.
Yeah. First, where they take the stop, Julia points out the train that takes her to school.
Yeah. And Alberto pretty much goes, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for teaching me about the train that goes to the place that
no one cares about.
And
you should care because it's going to come back in a big way, baby.
Julia tries to help him, calm him down. And then Alberto, in a jealous fit, is kind of like, hey, I'm his friend. I know what he needs.
Fit. Yeah.
Yeah. And he just... he goes, we'll do it together like we did with the Vespa when we were on the island.
And without discussion, just goes off.
Yeah, and pulls Luca with him into danger. And they get all the way down the hill, Luca screaming, and they end up crashing.
I like when they bump the two guys playing checkers.
Uh-huh.
And they hit the one guy and he looks back, and then the other guy switches the board.
Oh.
He's not looking. That's a good gag. They get all the way to the bottom, they fall into the ocean.
Yeah.
They have a moment alone.
Where, yeah, they're angry at each other.
As the sun sets.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really that wistful golden sunset from before. It's more of like a fiery orange skies.
Mm-hmm. And Luca's just like, I want to go to school. And Broto's just like, well, would you think those people are going to accept you? Like, you think they're not going to be scared of you?
Mm-hmm.
And so they actually get into, like, a physical fight.
Yeah. Julio comes in as Alberto has Luca on the ground about to punch him.
Yeah.
And Alberto says, hey, Julia, at your school, do they let in sea monsters?
She's like, what? And Luca...
I'll show you. Jumps in.
I like this reveal because it feels like a monster reveal.
Yeah. The way he's just lying there and then she's... takes his arm and sees the scales and then sees the tail.
Yeah.
And then the way he rises out.
Yeah.
And those, like, piercing green eyes now seem much more menacing with the fiery orange skies behind him.
Yeah.
And this heartbreaking.
This
moment.
Is heartbreaking.
This, by the way, I was telling you before we started, because we watched it separately the first time.
Uh-huh.
And I was curious if I was going to cry again the second time.
Mm-hmm.
And I did cry at the end. But the first time I watched it, from this point on, I was just on and off crying.
Yeah. My jaw hit the floor.
Yeah.
I was like, no, Luca.
No, my heart stops. Yep.
Because Luca turns on him. Like, Julia goes, sea monster, and
Julia
looks
goes,
back
it's
at
it's
Luca.
And Luca points and goes, sea monster. Luca's the one to label it.
Yeah. And then he's just like, Luca, like, he's like, so surprised. I'm surprised.
Yeah. I'm having trouble talking about it. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
He sells him out, and then Alberto has to swim away.
You know, this
after
is being
exposed to Ercole and his goons.
This is a much, much gentler knock him down, stay down scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about
much gentler.
The middle section of Moonlight.
Ercole comes and spots him, and he's just like, oh, sea monster. I'm going to get him. I'm going to kill him. And then, you know, they start throwing spears at him, and he swims away in disappointment. And they get back to Julia's home, and Luca tells Massimo that, you know, Alberto, he went home or he ran off.
And Massimo's the best because he's just concerned immediately and says, even if he didn't want anyone to find him, must look.
Yeah, I'm going to look. Yeah.
So he leaves, and now Julia and Luca have a moment, and Luca's freaking out, so Julia splashes water on his face. Was she suspicious of him, or was this her just... You're freaking out.
Yeah, you're freaking out. Yeah.
Because he holds out his hand so it doesn't hit his face, but it just turns his hands into webbed sea monster, sea creature hands.
Yeah. And she's just like, oh, it makes sense.
Is it derogatory when I say sea monster?
Is it? She's not surprised. She's just like, oh, it makes sense. Like, sleeping under the fish, I should have known.
She says, you got to go.
You got to go. Yeah, it's not safe here for you. It's the Vespa is not worth the
risk.
Of
all towns, why did you choose the one that hunts sea monsters?
Right. And so he's just like, yeah, you're right. It's over. I'm going to go.
And he goes to Alberto's hideout. Tries to
apologize.
Get back in his good graces.
Yeah.
Notices all the tally marks he has on the wall and brings that up to Alberto, so we get some backstory. It was his father left, and he started keeping tally of the days that came back.
Yeah.
And he thinks he shouldn't have friends. Like, he connects his father's abandonment with his own personal perceived failures.
Yeah, he has abandonment issues.
That's what it is, yeah. And they're not really back.
No, but Luca is just like, I'm gonna make this better. I'm gonna get the Vespa, and then we're gonna go ride. Like, we're gonna do it. It's gonna happen. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna fix this. And he does that thing where he just jumps out of the not the treehouse, but he jumps off the ledge, like free falling. And goes.
Very determined. He's now signing up for the triathlon as his own team. And we're going to begin.
Yeah. I love that Julia is so concerned. She's like, but what are you going to do when you get to the...
Yeah, how are you going to...
You can't... You can't swim.
And now we get to see his plan, because it's the day of the triathlon. We see there's monster hunters on watch in boats. And Luca shows up in the deep sea diver suit.
Yeah. Pretty much has to walk the race.
Ercole puts his man Chichio in. He like dunks like gallons of oil on him.
So he just glides.
Cut like a blade through the water.
Right. And it's working too, because he's in first place.
He's in first place until the minnows or whatever fish eat him.
Yeah, they start to like...
start biting him.
Start biting him, and then he's freaking out.
Luca's just like walking on the floor of the ocean.
Yeah. And his helmet cracks, and so water gets in.
Yeah.
And he becomes a creature again. Mm-hmm. So when he gets on land, and Ercole like trips him, and his helmet falls off, he has to like hunch back into it to like hide himself. Go under the table to like the pasta eating.
Yeah, it's cute.
Pops up.
And by that point, he like got the water off of himself, so he's human.
He's human.
And it's spaghetti.
Yeah.
Spaghetti's the pasta, and Julia helps him.
Shows him how to do it.
He wasn't trained for pasta.
Yeah.
And I feel like any other pasta he could have figured out, but spaghetti's a tough one.
Yeah.
You got to twirl it.
You got to twirl. And Julia's the first one to go, and then Ercole like rushes his teammate to eat, and then Luca goes, and he dodges his parents again.
Yeah.
He dodges
his
parents.
Well, they see him. They say, Luca, and he says, oh, I got to do this.
I
got to
do this. I got to,
And they notice and we notice he is fast on that bike. I mean, this is his event. Mm-hmm. This is the one he's been training for, and he's able to get in first.
Yeah. And he gets there, but then it starts to rain.
Oh, they show like a little before that, like the clouds coming up, and it's scary.
It's raining right now, actually.
It is.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And so he has to like stay under a ledge, and he is going to lose his lead.
Yeah, he has to just stand there.
Yeah.
But then to save the day, you see he's like running up the hill. First, you just see the umbrella. Then you see it's Alberto coming.
Yeah.
It'd be so perfect if not for Ercole being a dick.
Being a dick, and kicks him over and exposes him to everyone that's watching the race. And now they see that it's a sea monster. And he looks at Luca.
Alberto rushes him.
And he's just like, no, stay there. Like, you don't have to expose yourself for me.
You're still safe. And he rushes Ercole, but Ercole throws the net on him, like, at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Gets him with the net. Gets him down.
Mm-hmm.
And here, in a moment of true heroism
and
bravery and just emotions,
Luca
says, fuck it. He doesn't say fuck it, but...
Yeah, he mentally.
He says, Silencio Bruno. And you see first the hand reaching out and turning into the sea monster, but he doesn't care.
Yeah.
With all his speed, he catches up to take down, not to take down Ercole, to grab Alberto's hand, get him on the bike. Let's get to the water.
Right.
Race downhill,
followed
by Julia and Ercole.
Mm-hmm.
Chichio gets a little redemption. Not really redemption, but... Mm-hmm. Ercole is about to do like his abusive thing where he's like, stupid, why don't you get me my, but Chichio's right there with the spear.
Right.
And they're racing downhill. And,
Ercole is like standing on his bike.
Yeah.
And he's going,
you got that silhouette.
Yeah. He's gotten in front of them and he's going to like throw the spear.
He's
going to
harpoon them.
But Julia is just like, this is the end of your terror. And like,
She's an ally.
Smashes into his bike. And they both go like tumbling down to the finish line. And Luca and Alberto cross it together. And they come back for Julia.
They come back.
But they're fish.
They're fish. Everyone's scared of them.
Everyone's scared.
And Massimo steps in.
And he actually grabs his weapon as well, because he's just like, I'm going to get him.
Right.
But then he sees them with Julia, and he's just like, wait. And then he gets a good look at them.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
You want to say it? This was your review on Letterboxd.
Yeah, this is my moment. This is the moment.
This is when you cried?
This is when I cried. This is when,
this is when I continued to cry even more.
Yeah. There's something about just his presence. So, they're just like, Ercole is just calling them monsters. And they're just like, they're not monsters. And he goes, well, then what are they? And then Massimo just goes, I know who they are. They're Luca and Alberto.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the winners.
And they won the race. They were the first ones to cross.
It's something just about like that. Yeah, if it's like gay coded, there's something about a really masculine figure standing up to the crowd and being like, this is who they are and it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, they won.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And even if it's not gay coded, hey, he's down with sea creatures.
He's down with sea creatures. Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Either way, I was going to cry.
Because they're, I guess, Luca and Alberto are model minorities. Now, other gay folks or other sea creatures can reveal themselves.
Right. The parents do. They come out, of course. They rush their baby.
They were worried sick. And
but they're proud.
The two women, the older women that smashed the ice cream into Luca and Alberto's face in the beginning.
Oh, I cried harder.
Yeah.
I was like, oh wow.
Me too.
I got
serious goosebumps. Oh, it's the old queer couple.
Yeah.
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 They just like shrug and then throw their umbrellas away. And
then next to them are like more older ladies who then take the sea creature poster and rip it up.
They take it out of the police officer's, the polizzi's hands and rip it up. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just like, oh, wow. Waterfall.
Meanwhile, Hercules tossed into the fountain by his henchmen.
Love it. Knew it was going to happen. Like, right. Very like generic, always, but I love that it happened.
Yeah. And just some stuff that happens before we wrap up. They get a Vespa.
Yeah. They get the raggedy one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But Alberto sells it.
Yeah, there's this moment where Julia and Luca run off, and they're like, mm-hmm. come on, Alberto. Like, they're like, and he looks at the bike, and he looks at them.
Yep.
And then he lets the bike go.
I just got goosebumps right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He lets it go, because, like,
you know. He sells it to raise funds.
He's also growing and realizing that, you know, things change.
Yeah.
Plans change.
He sells it to raise funds for Luca's education.
Yeah, which is a last minute surprise, because he thinks he's sending Julia off, and then mm-hmm. Alberto's like, so yeah, I actually sold it, and you're gonna go to school with her, and it's gonna be great. And then the
parents are there to send him off.
Staying
with Julia and her mom.
You gotta call us every day, write us every day.
Luca reverses the roles, and he grabs his mom's face and says, "Look me in the eye. You know I love you, right?"
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great. And then you get a train farewell, which, you know, pulls the heartstrings.
Just pulled it out of me, because yeah, there's something about chasing a train after,
right before he gets on the train, just the goodbye. Luke is scared because he'll be without Alberto. Alberto says, "You're never without me," hands him the Vespa drawing, which was previously torn in half, is now taped up,
mm-hmm.
is better than ever.
Yeah,
he gets on, he says, "I'm always with you, that voice you hear
when you jump off a cliff,
when you
do something
off,
crazy,
that's
me."
Oh, and he gets on the train, and
the train
just to show Alberto's growth, he says something in Italian, and Luca says, "What does that mean anyway?" But now Alberto's able to admit, "I don't know." And he says, "Find out for me.
Find out for me."
Oh.
Oh. And the train pulls their hands apart, and Alberto begins to chase the train.
And he goes through the tunnel, and you see
Alberto
chases him and jumps off the platform, so it becomes the creature.
He becomes the creature as he's saying goodbye.
Through the tunnel, and it becomes just a slimmer of light, and then they get out of the tunnel, and Luca's head is out the window, so he turns into the creature.
Yeah.
Pixar.
Yeah.
They know how to do it.
They know how to do it. They know how to do it. And he's free. He does like this, like hands out in the wind, and then he looks over at the island where Alberto was stuck.
Yeah,
and you know, Luca got him off the island.
Yeah,
and all of this is happening because of that.
And we just see the sights, and then the text comes up: "Fine," F-I-N-E, Italian, presumably for, then parentheses, the end.
Yeah,
in that Men in Black, Where the Wild Things Are font, by the way.
That is.
the end is, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why. Then we get some drawings in the end credits. There's some Miyazaki movies that do this, the drawings that show like what the characters are up to now.
Mm-hmm.
We see Julia's mother and Luca with Julia at school.
Mm-hmm.
Him being comfortable with being a sea monster, showing it off to kids.
Alberto.
Yeah, we see Alberto and Massimo bonding.
Yeah.
He really becomes the father figure.
Yeah.
Luca's family just being around town now.
Yeah.
Being in Massimo and Alberto's life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a post-credit sequence with the more Uncle Ugo.
Yeah.
He talks to who he thinks is Luca, but it turns out it was probably Giuseppe. Just about how great it is to be so deep.
And then we see the falling carcass.
Yeah.
And he eats some. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whale carcass. Yeah. Is Luca a movie or a film?
I don't know. Is it a movie? No, is it a film?
I think it might be a film. So it's like their subtext, right?
There's nuance.
Yeah.
It's
art, right?
Yeah.
It's very derivative of a lot of things, but
mm-hmm.
that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's also nice that it's an original story.
Right.
Even though it is, you can point at it and be like, Little Mermaid, Call Me By Your Name, everything.
Everything. Yeah.
But no, I think it's, I'm going with film on this one.
I'm going to go with film.
Cool. Email us, moviefilmpod@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. Or catch us on social at moviefilmpod. Once again, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/moviefilmpod, mm-hmm. where next week we will reveal what our next episode is. Yeah. For now, we'll give you a hint. We're still doing some summertime stuff.
Nice. Is it Grease?
So you can... You know, Grease, when you search summer movies, Grease does show up just because of the beginning.
The song, yeah.
But that's not a summer movie. There's just it starts in the summer, yeah. But it's a school year picture. So no, I can say right now, we are not doing Grease.
Okay, cool.
Could be a musical, though. I don't know. Find out next time on Movie.
Movie.
Film.
Film.
It's not a musical.